manager of the IE America Radio Network, wishing you and yours a safe and happy holiday.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. George W. Bush again ranks as the man most admired by Americans, but First Lady Laura Bush came in third among women in the annual poll. For the second year in a row, Democratic Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton of New York was the most admired woman. The former First Lady was the first or second choice of 16% in a USA Today CNN Gallup poll. Her memoir, Living History, is a bestseller this year. Last year, 7% chose her. TV host Oprah Winfrey was second this year and in 2002. Laura Bush was also third last year. She placed first in 2001 after the September 11th terrorist attacks. A spacecraft is on track to fly through the tail of a comet on Friday, collecting hundreds of specks of the primitive material from which the sun, the planets, and all living creatures are made, NASA said. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration Stardust spacecraft is expected to pass within 186 miles of the comet Vild 2 as it catches the shimmering gas and dust cloud that envelops the dirty ball of ice and rock. The unmanned probe should make its closest approach at 2:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Friday, when the comet and probe will be 242 million miles from Earth, mission members said Tuesday at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Hundreds of relatives will be getting a free ride to visit soldiers wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan at military hospitals around the country. Operation Hero Miles is giving 680 free plane tickets to families and friends of wounded troops. Since November, the program has also been providing free plane tickets home for soldiers on leave from Iraq and Afghanistan using donated frequent flyer miles. The tickets will be distributed through the Fisher House Foundation, a nonprofit organization that opens its 32 homes across the country to military families. The official U.S. population will rise to over 292 million on the first day of the new year, an increase of nearly 3 million in a year, according to the Census Bureau, which says the country now adds a person every 12 seconds. More news after this.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today won't be around for our children and grandchildren. The Earth's resources are limited. Voluntary family planning improves health while helping slow population growth, and that's good for our planet. Help build a healthy future for us all. Visit www.populationaction.org.
A New York man who says he sells books and magazines on the street was rescued after being trapped for 2 days under a mountain of reading material in his apartment. Patrice Moore had apparently been standing up when the books, catalogs, mail, and newspapers swamped him on Saturday. Firefighters and neighbors rescued him on Monday afternoon, and he was hospitalized in stable condition Tuesday morning with leg injuries. This is Don Waller in New York. For all of us at IE America Network News, Happy New Year.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Few things that we eat are as good or good for us as a nice piece of fresh pink salmon pulled out of the cold, pristine waters of our northern oceans and rivers. Or at least, that's the image of this noble fish. For wild salmon, the image is true. But 80% of the salmon sold in U.S. markets and restaurants today comes from fish farms. More and more, these are corporate-owned, industrialized operations that jam tens of thousands of salmon together in ocean pens, much as the infamous hog, poultry, and beef factories do on land. The top priority of these operations is quick profit, based on high volume and shortcuts on costs. There's no free lunch, so the price of these quick profits is paid by others. Start with the fish. Jammed together, they suffer abrasions and diseases that have to be dealt with by dousing them with pesticides in the water and feeding them antibiotics. Many escape from their pens into the surrounding ocean, and since they've been artificially fattened, they're huge and able to decimate the stocks of wild salmon. The environment pays, too. The toxics dumped in these factory pens contaminate the surrounding water, as does the enormous amount of fish waste. A single pen produces more waste than a small city, and these outfits typically have 20 pens each. Then there's us. The factory salmon grow huge, but they have twice the saturated fat of wild salmon and less of the fatty acids that make salmon good for us. They also bring more toxic contaminants to our tables, and get this, they have to be artificially colored. While wild salmon get naturally pink from their diet of shrimp and krill, the factories feed their salmon a fish meal that produces fast weight gain but leaves them gray or khaki in color. So petrochemicals are added to produce a made-to-order range of light pink to red coloring. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help stop the damage being done by these salmon factories, call Environmental Defense, 212-505-2100.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey,
and
there's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening. Radio Network.
And we're live. This is Tony Trupiano in for Mike Malloy. Apparently there's no music in the computer. How you feeling about that, Char? I can tell you're very happy about it. Tony Trupiano here. In for Mike Malloy, and so we've got the cold open, as they say in the business. As a matter of fact, the first time I had to do a cold open, I kind of stumbled like I just did. So I want to welcome everybody to this Tuesday, December 30th show here on the Mike Malloy Show. I am Tony Trupiano. I'll be in this evening. We're going to have a roundtable discussion of sorts. Joining me in just a few moments will be Rob Call. He is the editor and founder of OpEdNews.com. Mark Connes, nationally syndicated talk show host, will be with us as well. And we are reserving a spot for you, the audience, if you want to ring us up and talk about the issues that matter to you that happened in Ought 3. You're more than welcome to do that. Let me give you some contact information to start, and then we'll get rocking. The number, of course, for the show, 1-800-825-5937. That's 1-800-TALK-YES. Or you can simply send an email, tony@thetonyshow.com. Now, let me just set this up a little bit for you before we go on. I'm just going to bring up a series of issues, and we're just going to talk about them in no particular order of importance, certainly, and in no particular order with regard to when they happened throughout the year. If there's an issue that you want to bring to the table, feel free to do that. And you can, again, do that either by calling us or by sending an email. That's the plan for today. And that'll actually clean up this program for the year. Tomorrow will be a rebroadcast show, and Thursday. And then Mike will be back live in studio this Friday for his first show of Ought 4. Before I bring Rob on, and we are still waiting for Mr. Honest to enter the building, and trust me, we'll feel it when he does, I do want to talk a little bit about something that happened today that has wider implications. And actually, I briefly touched on this yesterday, not knowing, truly not knowing, that this would end up being an issue today. But for those of you that have been watching the news and are not quite aware of what the implications of this means, let me share this with you now. You may have heard or may not have heard yet that the U.S. government today has, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, has banned ephedra, effectively banned ephedra from the market. Ephedra is a naturally occurring substance in nature. It comes from the root of the mahuang plant. It is a form of a stimulant, very effective in helping people lose weight. And they have removed that product, or they will be removing that product from the market. The reason that I bring this up is twofold. The first part of this is, as those of you that have followed me in any way know that I have a website that is devoted to weight loss. I have lost over 233 pounds using a product that has ephedra in it, using it responsibly, thank you very much. So that is the first reason that this causes me pause. The second reason is I believe that the way they are going about advertising and spinning why they're pulling ephedra from the market, because there have been deaths and strokes and major illnesses caused as a result of ephedra, is erroneous information. It is based on a very small sampling of those that have abused the product, not those that have just taken it. Those that take it within the safety guidelines, to my knowledge, have never had any problem with it. They are saying that there have been over 100 deaths as a result of those who have used ephedra. I want to let you know that of the 12 million people that have used ephedra, there have been 100 deaths. I can almost guarantee you that more people die every year from eating peanuts than from eating ephedra. And I'm going to ask you today to reach out to your elected representatives and ask them to not allow this ban to move forward. We've got to get Big Brother out of our pockets. We've got to get him out of our lives. There are millions of people that are successfully losing weight loss responsibly with the use of ephedra. And until we stop Big Brother from doing this, it is just not going to stop. And the government will not stop invading and infiltrating your life. I'm very, very angry about this. Very angry about this. All right, let's move on. Again, the number for the show, 1-800-825-5937. And the email address, again, tony@thetonyshow.com. We've got topics, people, events, and we don't get to them as we work our way through the program today. Call us up or send us an email, and we'll certainly talk about it. As we're waiting for Mark Connors to join us, we're going to introduce Rob Call. Rob was introduced to me some months back when I was doing an afternoon program here on the network called the Radio Free Speech Zone. He is the editor and founder of opednews.com, one of the most common sense and real websites on the Internet. It provides real information for real folks. I don't put a tag on it as being progressive because, honestly, it just speaks the truth. The truth needs no other license. And, Rob Call, is always a pleasure to chat with you.
Hi. Well, I can say I have some ideas about this ephedra business.
Well, let's talk about it because I'm pissed off.
Well, you know, I think that we have a systemic disease in America. Bush is like a virus that is affecting all aspects of government, and the FDA is one of them. My guess is that shortly after ephedra is removed, there's going to be a pharmaceutical company that has patented a man-made synthetic version of it that will then put it on the market at 10 times or 20 times the rate that it's sold.
Oh, I can guarantee you, Rob, that's going to happen. They've already synthesized ephedra. It is already available in a synthesized form. You can already get a prescription drug for it. That'll be the only way you're going to be able to get it.
So you've got pharmaceutical profits and you've got medical industry control.
Well, you know, and again, I put my bias out front. You know, I'm not hiding behind anything. If it weren't for this ephedra-based product that I take, I would not have been able to successfully lose the weight I've lost.
Well, you know, this reminds me, in a sense, you know, here you've got a naturally occurring product that, because it's naturally occurring and inexpensive and hasn't costed hundreds of millions of dollars to develop, it doesn't have a corporation that advocates it, that lobbies for it. So what you end up with is a situation kind of like what the World Trade Organization does in some of the developing countries, you know, where they try to make water privatized.
Well, you know, another thing that really kind of got at me today, and actually this started off a month ago, there is something called the Ephedra Education Council. They're in Washington, D.C. They're a lobby organization. They are supposedly a pro-ephedra lobby. If you were to scrub their website from page one to the last page, you cannot find anything but an address. No email, no phone number, no fax number. Just an address. When you run the address, it takes you nowhere. So what the hell are they doing?
The Federal Education Council?
Yeah.
Huh.
You can't find them. They've got a Washington, D.C. address. I sent them a letter, never got a response. I saw this coming weeks ago. I have been lobbying. I've been having people write their congressmen and their senators. I've been giving out the number to the main switch for the House and Senate. I've been even told people, you don't even have to know who your elected reps are. Just call and tell them where you're from. They'll know where to put you. Nothing. And whatever this Federal Education Council is all about, they're doing no good at all. We already have, Robin, I don't know if you're aware of DSHEA, the Dietary Health and Supplement Act that was passed in 1995 that basically regulated natural supplements. It's a great act in and of itself. The problem was it was never fully funded. And because it wasn't fully funded, they've never been able to put the full force of the act in place. And so this is part of the problem. The Senate comes along. Somebody just sent me an email. I am not a distributor of any multi-level marketing program for Ephedra products, okay? I don't distribute. I am not a multi-level marketing guy. I'm like, you know, don't piss me off tonight. This is not about selling products. I don't know what the hell's wrong with some of you people. Jesus Christ, I'm talking about a natural supplement. And Rob, tell them right now, because they're not going to believe me. This isn't going to stop with Ephedra. Next, it's going to be vitamin C, and then it's going to be vitamin E, and you're going to need to get a prescription for these natural supplements. And if people think I'm joking, go look at the proposed bill, Senate Bill 722, and then you tell me what's going on.
Well, that's why I brought up the World Trade Organization. They want to privatize everything. They want to make it so they make a profit on every breath you take.
It absolutely blows my mind. And the American people are sitting here, and you know what? To me, there's no difference between the Ephedra issue and natural supplements in this next presidential election. Because until the American people get off their dead asses and decide that, you know what, I am unhappy with what's going on, I no longer want to live this way, I fear for my children and the next generation, nothing's going to change. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't like what you got now, you better get used to it because it's going to stay this way or get worse.
Oh, much worse.
Okay, now I'm going to stay.
You know, if Bush gets another 4 years, it's like going to be the guillotine is going to come down in November of this year. You wait till November for the – I mean, regardless of who wins, mortgage rates are going to go up 50%. You know that's going to happen. They're holding – the interest rates in general down until the election. Things are going to hit the fan, and a lot of people are going to be hurt.
Well, you know, here, and you're right. Whoever is elected the next election cycle is inheriting an economy that's in shambles. And there is no way the next president can fix this quickly. But let me also make this point. If we don't elect a Democrat to office, it's done and over with. We have sold out the next five generations of our families.
What we may have is the end of America as we knew it for baby boomers. I mean, I'm 52. I'm a baby boomer. If Bush takes it again, he's going to lock up the election system like Greg Palast has been talking about. And we're going to have electronic voting that is a joke, that is a total charade. We're going to have voter roll list purging like was done in Florida, done throughout the U.S., so that we're never going to ever in our lifetimes again see a democratic U.S.
All right, let me. I need to go back to the Ephedra issue. Rob, I hope you don't mind, but we're getting some emails on it. This obviously an important issue to me. I think that people need to be aware that Ephedra has already been banned in California, New York, and Illinois. And somebody in Indiana, of course, neighboring Illinois, points out quite responsibly that using Ephedra responsibly isn't going to kill anybody. When they banned it in Illinois, the people coming into Indiana to buy it, they couldn't keep it on the shelves. Big Brother, get out of my pocket. We got to take a break here. This is the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Tony Trupiano. Rob Paul's with us. Mark Connors is somewhere in the stratosphere. We'll find.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Show. Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
really?
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. I've read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling the 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network. At 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
All right, and welcome back. 24 minutes after the hour. The panel is empowered. The Ought3 panel. Mark Connors is with me. Jamie Flanagan. Rob Call on the phone from opednews.com. Before we go any further, I want people to know that today, if you would, take $20 and go to Rob's website and find out how to send it to him. You know, Rob, I think the last time we talked, you'd already made $2. Well, I shouldn't say you made $2, but, you know, you had $2. I don't know that you've made a dime yet off this, but I would like somebody, everybody, if you would, just take a few minutes, go to opednews.com and send $20 to Op-Ed News. Trust me, Rob's not getting rich off this. And when you, if you've got like 25, 30 uninterrupted hours, you can get through part of his website. And I'm not exaggerating. It is where I go, by the way, Mr. Hannes, to prepare for this show.
Somebody has to go somewhere. And that's a profound thought if you think about
well,
it.
Well, I'm not going to go there. Anyway, Rob, I appreciate the work that you do. Jamie, thank you for joining us. And he'll turn his mic on and say...
Thank you for having me.
All right, I appreciate that.
And I'm finally here after spending 20 minutes with Detroit's finest.
All right, can we briefly tell that story?
Sure, I was driving down 8 Mile Road in Detroit, and 8 Mile is the street where people go to... enjoy themselves in illicit manners. How's that?
Pick up hose.
There you go. That's true. And I was driving down the street, and I happened to have a taillight out. And here there is a suburban white guy in a white minivan driving down the street. And they figure, I've got to be up to no good at this time of night on 8 Mile. And, well, I was. I'm coming here to do the Tony Trupiano show.
Right.
You know, so.
Which is a form of prostitution in and of itself.
Well, and they end up pulling me over and deciding to have two or three cop cars go through the stuff in my car. And they found, you know, some catnip and some pickles. And, you know, the stuff that I have in my car is all stuff for pets and animals. And they're, you know, they pointed and laughed a lot.
Okay, well, that's what my wife does.
So,
you know, because, Rob, we know they don't have prostitutes in Philadelphia, do they? All right, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to kind of take a little look back at 2003 and we're going to get some reaction to what happened. Rob, I'm going to start with you. One of the big stories early Odd 3, of course, was the space shuttle Columbia exploding as it re-entered the atmosphere. And, of course, as we come to find out, it was something that most likely could have been, or more importantly, should have been prevented. Your thoughts on the space shuttle Columbia?
Space shuttle, boy. They spent a lot more money on it than they did investigating 9/11, and they did it a lot faster. And it's a tragedy what happened on the space shuttle, but it's an outrage and despicable that they did not spend 10 times as much on what happened with 9/11. The 9/11 investigation has been blocked, impeded, sabotaged by the Bush administration in an unbelievable way.
Well, and you know, again, the further outrage is, you're right, they have spent, and we don't really even know where they're going yet with 9/11. There's still too much controversy. I'll get to my comments after that. Jamie, your thoughts on the Space Shuttle Columbia?
I don't really have.
You don't say.
Got me off guard.
All right.
The Space Shuttle, in my opinion, the biggest tragedy of this whole thing is that we as a country spend so little on space research. And the reason being is so many of the things that we now take for granted as part of our lives came out of the space race. And pure science brings more advances to humankind than any other form of endeavor. It's not money making, it's an investment. And the problem is NASA has done such a horrible job of the whole space industry and the whole thought of human exploration that they've made it a joke. And that's what irritates me most of all. And then people lose their lives because you have petty bureaucrats trying to make hay with the press rather than doing good science and keeping people safe.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point. And, of course, any kind of research that advances science, advances theory, advances, you know, whatever. They've done all kinds of experimentation in space.
We couldn't have aquariums without the silicone they used to seal the shuttle.
And that in and of itself.
It's important.
We've got to take a break. We've got some calls coming up. Rob Call, Mark Connors, Jamie.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away. Hi, this is Ron Mitzinger, Director of Affiliate Relations at IE America Radio Network, hoping you and your family have a happy holiday.
Scientists hope to use a few thousand animals and 10 years of work to paint a new picture of the Pacific Ocean. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Randy Kochivar says it's hard to learn about the lives of sharks, whales, and other creatures in the Pacific Ocean for a simple reason. You can't see them. Kochivar is a marine biologist at the Monterey Bay Aquarium in California, and he says there's still a lot to learn about where animals in the open ocean feed and breed.
If we wanted to describe the African savanna, you know, you could close your eyes and just picture what it would look like to see lions roaming around and chasing zebras and chasing giraffes and so on. But if I asked you to do the same exercise in the Pacific Ocean, you couldn't do that. We don't have that view, that sort of mountaintop looking down view of the interactions of these animals. And it's because we can't just see through water.
Kochivar is working with an international team of scientists to overcome that obstacle. They're attaching sophisticated tags onto 4,000 or 5,000 animals that include whales, sharks, fish, and turtles. The tags carry electronic devices that record location, water temperature, and other information. The tags on the sharks transmit data to satellites. Tags on fish like tuna will be recovered when the fish are caught by sport or commercial fishers.
With these new electronic technologies that we're using to tag and follow these animals, we begin to get that kind of a view of where these animals go and what the forces are that drive those movements.
Kochivar says the project will last for 10 years and describe the travels of 22 species in a completely new way. He says that will help scientists and government managers find ways to protect them from the increasing pressures of pollution and sport and commercial fishing. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, who talks to the animals. And you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All that you need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy show, just say no.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And welcome back, 33 after the hour. You've got the number, the email address, tony@thetonyshow.com. I'm going to come back to the ephedra thing later because I'm getting a lot of emails on it. I'm not going to let it fall, but we've got a lot of stuff to get to. Let's go to the phones. I've got Rob Call with us, by the way, on the phone. Mark Hannes and Jamie Flanagan. Tony in Chicago joins us. Tony, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Thank you. Well.
You know, I'm a science teacher, and it's tragic to see what's happened in this country in terms of science education and how it's not being played up. I'm finding that our kids today have little to no interest in how things work, much less trying to find new and better ways of doing things. The way they think, the way they act is, oh, well, somebody else will do it. And I think that comes a lot from their parents. And frankly, I find a lot of the parents are deathly afraid of science. They've got this religious mindset where if it's not something directly biblical, they don't really want to know about it.
You know, I don't know if that's the case as much as it is the 60s coming back to visit us. That if you look at it, the people who are the parents now of kids, it's the whole 60s and 70s generation where we were just too interested in partying to worry about science, and we didn't gain the probably the curiosity that happened in generations before us. I think the religious right gets a lot of press for what they try to do with the, and mainly in the evolution end of it. The rest of it, I don't think that the religious right cares one way or the other what we teach.
Oh, no, that's not true at all.
Oh, that is not true at all, Mark.
Really?
I haven't
run into that. When I was teaching, I didn't run into that.
I run into that on a regular basis.
Besides evolution, what could they have a problem with?
Well, okay, here's one for you. How about the creation of elements? How about the Big Bang? How about all those things that NASA actually studies now that, you know, that gets right up into their faces that they really don't want to know anything about? You tell them that the Earth is, you know, at least 5 billion years old.
Yeah, and then they get all sad because it's supposed to be 6,000 years old.
Then you talk about, okay, well, where did the sun come from? Where did the carbon in your bones and your, where did the calcium come from?
See, I happen to have a degree in theology, so this is really kind of right up my alley. I actually was in Catholic seminary when I was in college. And the
which would explain why you were visiting prostitutes.
Yeah, I was not, you creep. Lord, the lightning bolt on the other side of the table. Actually, what ends up happening is when you start getting into people who are looking at biblical criticism in the sense that you do any kind of science, whether it's historical or literary, the predominant thought among the mainstream Christianity is that God did create, and the Bible is a book of collection of stories where God spoke to people where they were at and in a way they could understand.
I don't think that's how the majority of these people look at it.
But you're just talking about the fundamentalists. You're not talking about the majority of Christians.
Fundamentalists are the ones who are dominating the discussion in terms of what's going into our science textbooks, what's going into our science curriculum.
But it
what
goes
do
beyond,
we dare
but
to
Tony,
teach in our classroom?
Tony, it goes just beyond that issue. Let's go back to the NASA argument that we were talking about before the break. And Jamie, I want to bring you in on this in just a moment because you're a teacher as well.
Right.
You know, one of the realities is that we need to make science sexier because that's the way we sell to kids today. It's, and I don't mean sexual
video games.
It needs to be more fun. And Tony, I'm sure that you're trying to inject some fun into what you do. You know, interestingly, and now I'll bring Rob Call in and then we'll go to Jamie. Rob, you know, I know that you're always trying to get people to think. I know one of your big things is getting people to think long and hard about issues that they don't normally think about. I mean, now you deal with adults. How great is that challenge?
I think people have within them the need to do it. There's almost a fear to think. It's a lot of in today's world, there's a fear of feeling, of expressing emotion, and there's a fear of thinking and of allowing the imagination to range wide. And that's why movies are so popular, because it's a very constrained, safe way for people to let those things happen. As far as science goes, I made my living for a while as a science writer. I used to write for Omni magazine, for example. And you know, it's an art. To the idea of getting people to be entranced with the magic of science.
And it is magic. Now, Jamie Flanagan, I got to ask you, because you not only do you teach, but you teach at-risk kids. Is that fair to say?
Yes, definitely.
So a greater challenge. And I don't know what subjects you teach, or is it just a rounded curriculum?
I'm in the English department.
You're in the English department. Yeah. Okay.
See, the part of the problem is it's the school system. You know, they have this model where you first teach math, then you teach trig,
right,
then you get calculus. And really, they don't have a model that engages kids in science, and that's what's needed.
No, they don't tell you what X is, because we don't care.
That's what he had mentioned. You didn't quite say the word, but you said they lacked interest. I think they have an interest. It's just a passive interest. It's what is going to be fed to me. What am I going to get?
Yeah.
So when you say passive interest, then I want to ask Tony, the teacher, Jamie. When you say passive interest, is it your job as an educator then to reach inside them and pull it out?
Yes, absolutely.
Tony, do you agree with that?
What I try to do is get them to think about things they've never considered. You know, I teach chemistry and astronomy. Those are the two areas that I focus on. And in both areas, you know, I get them when they're 16, 17 years old. And so they're starting to be able to think about these kinds of things. And I pose them as questions. I don't just teach. I ask a lot of questions, a lot of leading questions, trying to get them to go in directions that they don't necessarily go in. And it's really great. You can see a lot of kids that are really there. They can think that question. They maybe not know how to phrase it exactly, but you can kind of, as a teacher, you can kind of see what they're trying to get to, and you kind of help them get to that point. But then there's a lot of kids, I'd say easily a third or maybe even a half of the kids, who don't have that spark. And I don't know exactly why they don't have that spark, but I think a lot of it has to do with what they are getting from home. And I think a lot of it has to do with you said it before, science isn't sexy. One of the things I try to do in my classroom, anything I'm teaching, I always try it and tie it back into what they know and then spiral out from that, bringing in these concepts over and over again, basic ideas, so that even after they leave my classroom, they will come back and think about it years later, maybe.
Let me ask you a question, though. But do you think maybe those one-third kids that are not sparked by science, when they're in literature class, they're sparked by the wonder of words, or if they're in art class, they're enthralled by this?
See, that's a wonderful idea. And then in that model, 100% of the kids are engaged in something, and the reality is that's just not true.
I see a lot of kids. It's interesting that you should ask that question. I see a lot of the kids that are actually sparked in science, they have a spark going in other areas. A lot of the kids that I see that don't have that spark, they are very disengaged. I mean, it's not even a matter of, you know, gee, there's nothing here for me. It's, I'm just not interested. I'd rather be anywhere but here. No matter what I as a classroom teacher try to do, I try to bring in neat things that they maybe have never thought about or things they've never seen before. I mean, I'm a pretty non-conventional kind of guy when it comes to teaching chemistry. And, you know, they're not even interested in doing laboratory work. Think about that. A kid who's a high school kid getting to work with Bunsen burners and acid, and a kid who's just not interested.
Well, I worked with acid, but I'm
that's another a little zinc powder and water always goes a long way.
Absolutely. Tony, I want to thank you for your call. We're going to have to let you go. Jamie, I'll let you have the last word on this one.
I have no last word.
All right, let's move on. Rob Call again with us from opednews.com. If you want to join us, by the way, Tony, thank you for your call. 1-800-825-5937. August 14th, 2003. A seemingly lazy, hot, sunny August afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And about, 4 o'clock that afternoon, something strange happens. The lights go out all over the Midwest and up the East Coast.
Terror.
A terror. Well, certainly that's what I thought. Rob Call, let me throw it again to you. And obviously, I don't believe you were affected where you were at. Obviously, us here in Detroit were affected and millions of other people. We immediately thought terror, of course, and it wasn't that the lights went out, so that my cell phone didn't work, and the water wasn't working for me at where I was living. Your thoughts where you were at?
Dennis, I got to say, this is after I found out the facts. Dennis Kucinich was right. When he was the mayor of Cleveland, he basically ran for election standing up against the privatization of the energy companies in Cleveland. It was, I believe, those energy companies, starting right there, and other privatized energy companies that had failed to invest in the infrastructure to create a safe energy network. Kucinich did the right thing. He ended up losing his mayorship because the banks were in cahoots with the energy companies, and they made the city go bankrupt. But he proved to be right in the long run. And the fact is, it's another example of where privatization and deregulation has failed, where the market has not encouraged optimal functioning of the energy utility.
And don't you think, Rob, it underscored in an amazingly massive fashion how unprepared we were in this country for the simple reality that, you know what, it takes more than just one machine talking to another? I mean, let's make this as simple as it was. They messed up. They did not, I mean, I'm talking the utilities, did not and had no plan B in place.
And the Republicans in the Congress had blocked efforts to legislate to make it safer and more sturdy and reliable.
Yeah.
Just like they blocked the safeguards for mad cow disease that we're dealing with now.
Yeah, it's amazing. All right, Jamie, we'll take it to you. August 14th, 2003. I know I won't forget that 20-something hours.
Oh, it was astounding. It's how unprepared we were, and how easily the luxury that we live in. It's how people are just so unprepared for anything but what we're accustomed to.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing, Mark.
I got to turn my microphone up. Well, I was actually in California when it happened and looking forward to getting on a plane 2 hours later.
Mm-hmm.
No, 2 days later, I was able to fly back. So I was sitting in San Diego watching the power go out and not being able to get a hold of my family because all the phones we had owned at the time all plugged into a wall. There was not the typical just phone you just plug in. So my wife had to go out to a dollar store, oddly enough, and get a phone to plug in so we could communicate because you couldn't get through
to
anybody.
That was another issue that I had, is I have a phone system because, not unlike you, I work out of my home, and so everything runs through a phone system. And that didn't work, and my cell phone didn't work. You know, it was also a reminder, although it did not last as long as we maybe at one point thought it might, the frustration, and again, being a news guy, and one of the things that you do, you know, I was on the air September 11th. I've been on the air through some pretty major catastrophes in this country. All you do is end up repeating information over and over and over again, and the frustration of having to sit through that as a consumer of information.
And get nothing.
Right. Now, as the months go by, and Rob, you know, you can ring in on this one, as the months go by and you start finding out what really happened and how this could have been prevented, and how poorly put together our infrastructure is, Rob, it should scare the hell out of the average American that we've not funded an infrastructure that can support our lifestyles.
But that's the opposite of the goals of this administration.
Oh, there's no question about that.
Infrastructure is government. Infrastructure is the core components that support our country and our society. And their policy is starve it so it's small enough to drown in a bathtub.
Well, and see, that's where you start getting into a political philosophy between the state's government and between federal government. Now, I personally do not like the idea of a overly strong federal government. I think that is very reminiscent, as being a history teacher that I once was and a student of history, putting as much power centrally located within a system as large as the United States. We already have too much of that. Now, you've got a conundrum going on, because you have a situation where privatization, for example, in the phone companies, privatization has been a wonderful reality, and deregulation, everybody's phone bills have gotten less, competition has come in, it has worked. Now, in the power grid system, the problem they did is they deregulated it without bringing in competition. So what you basically had was a private monopoly. And a private monopoly is going to do better as worse as having
same,
government.
And you're right. And these are the same folks that are writing the corporate checks for the political campaigns.
Certainly.
Of the people of the current administration. And one of the problems when you start consolidating and you deregulate any industry and you don't provide for competition, and it's impossible. I mean, let's stop and think about this, Rob. It's impossible to have open, competitive electricity. How do you do it? You've got to share the same lines.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would think that if we have an internet that shares lines, that it's probably possible to do it with electricity. And just as there
phone
are people who are able to generate small amounts and feed them into the system and get credit for it, for all I know, it might be possible for everybody to put solar panels on their roof and feed into the system.
Well, there's some truth to that. Okay, let's take one more quick break this hour. We got a lot to get through as we work our way through the evening. Tony at thetonyshow.com, 1-800-825-5937. Tony Trupiano, Mark Hannes, Jamie Flanagan, and Rob Call. We'll be back.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Kathy. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday afternoon, I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My
fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae covered wishes and caviar laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
Just a few minutes left in the balance this hour. Mark Hannes with me, Jamie Flanagan, Rob Call on the phone from Philadelphia from opednews.com. You know, Rob, one of the things that happened in 2003 was the birth of opednews.com.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about the origin of how this came to be.
Well, we were going into the war, and I decided I needed to do something to try to stop Bush. So it's an interesting question because so it was originally born out of an intense desire to get some ideas and messages out about Bush, about politics, about my opposition to so much of the right wing. And then, of course, as it's grown and evolved, I mean, it's been a challenge to me to really kind of think of what where I want it to go, what its vision is, what its mission is. And that's something that where I've gone with it is putting out a picture of the world that is a more truthful, straighter one that looks at it from a perspective that is not filtered through corporatist Republican points of view.
Is it fair to say that you have your own bias, though?
Oh, yeah.
But you don't hide that bias.
Well, if you go to the About section, you know, it says that the goal is to be a tough, liberal, progressive website.
Yeah, and indeed, I think that you... I know that you accomplished that. The reason that I even bring that up as an event that happened in 03 is that obviously a more progressive voice is something that a lot of people are crying for. Certainly this audience and the audience of this network is anxious to see a more progressive voice. And you know, again, I did a little pitch for you earlier asking for people to donate some money. Rob, the truth is this takes up a great deal of time, and there is an expense involved, and you're not looking to get rich off this, so let's make that clear up front.
I think my best month I've taken in about $250 in
cash. Okay. Well, that's not going to get him anything out of the aisle, is it?
No, not a doggone thing. How would I know?
Yeah.
I'm working at it full time.
Are you at it full time now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I have a kind of a other half of the day job.
Okay, well, we can talk about that a little bit. We need to take a break from the top of the hour. Rob, go stretch your legs. We've got a lot of issues to get to, and we'll do that, a lot of emails as well. The phone number is 1-800-825-5937. The email, tony@thetonyshow.com. Mark Connors, Jamie Flanagan, Rob Call. I am Tony Trupiano, in for Mike Malloy. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Rule.
You hate me?
Why not get something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A spacecraft is on track to fly through the tail of a comet on Friday, collecting hundreds of specks of the primitive material from which the sun, the planets, and all living creatures are made, NASA said. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration Stardust spacecraft is expected to pass within 186 miles of the comet Vild 2 as it catches the shimmering gas and dust cloud that envelops the dirty ball of ice and rock. The unmanned probe should make its closest approach at 2:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Friday, when the comet and probe will be 242 million miles from Earth, mission members said Tuesday at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Hoping to stop State Representative Gary Haluska from winning a sixth term, local Republicans in Pennsylvania have taken the unusual step of placing a classified ad in a newspaper seeking state House hopefuls. Republicans have about a month to gather the 300 signatures on nominating petitions, spurring County GOP Robert A. Gleason to cast a wide net for candidates. Enticements include $62,000 a year, a leased car, mileage paid, and a pension. The hardest part of the job may be unseating Haluska, a Democrat who has held the seat in the county of 152,000, where Democrats outnumber Republicans 2-1 since 1994. George W. Bush again ranks as the man most admired by Americans. But First Lady Laura Bush came in third among women in the annual poll. For the second year in a row, Democratic Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton of New York was the most admired woman. The former First Lady was the first or second choice of 16% in a USA Today CNN Gallup poll. Her memoir, Living History, is a bestseller this year. Last year, 7% chose her. TV host Oprah Winfrey was second this year and in 2002. Laura Bush was also third last year. She placed first in 2001 after the September 11th terrorist attacks.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today won't be around for our children and grandchildren. The Earth's resources are limited. Voluntary family planning improves health while helping slow population growth. And that's good for our planet. Help build a healthy future for us all. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
M&M's, the colorful button-shaped candies, are about to go off color for the first time in 60 years, but it remains to be seen whether the fans love or hate the change. The chocolate-filled, sugar-coated candies will be available in only black and white for the next few months, instead of the usual six colors as part of a promotional campaign. The company plans to bring back the colored candy to the market after the promotion runs its course in a few months. This is Don Waller in New York. For all of us at IE America Network News, Happy New Year.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Few things that we eat are as good or good for us as a nice piece of fresh pink salmon pulled out of the cold, pristine waters of our northern oceans and rivers. Or at least, that's the image of this noble fish. For wild salmon, the image is true. But 80% of the salmon sold in U.S. markets and restaurants today comes from fish farms. More and more, these are corporate-owned, industrialized operations that jam tens of thousands of salmon together in ocean pens, much as the infamous hog poultry and beef factories do on land. The top priority of these operations is quick profit, based on high volume and shortcuts on costs. There's no free lunch, so the price of these quick profits is paid by others. Start with the fish. Jammed together, they suffer abrasions and diseases that have to be dealt with by dousing them with pesticides in the water and feeding them antibiotics. Many escape from their pens into the surrounding ocean, and since they've been artificially fattened, they're huge and able to decimate the stocks of wild salmon. The environment pays, too. The toxics dumped in these factory pens contaminate the surrounding water, as does the enormous amount of fish waste. A single pen produces more waste than a small city. And these outfits typically have 20 pens each. Then there's us. The factory salmon grow huge, but they have twice the saturated fat of wild salmon and less of the fatty acids that make salmon good for us. They also bring more toxic contaminants to our tables, and get this, they have to be artificially colored. While wild salmon get naturally pink from their diet of shrimp and krill, the factories feed their salmon a fish meal that produces fast weight gain but leaves them gray or khaki in color. So petrochemicals are added to produce a made-to-order range of light pink to red coloring. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help stop the damage being done by these salmon factories, call Environmental Defense, 212-505-2100.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do being on the tractor as much time as I do or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening. Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
With special guest host Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody, to Hour 2. It is Tuesday, the 30th day of December, aught 3, as we get ready to turn the page on the calendar to 04. We are doing a little roundtable discussion. We're going to try to get to a little more substance in this hour. It's easy to get into tangents when you get four guys that are passionate on issues. Yeah, at the same place, at the same time, Shara's rolling her eyes like, yeah, whatever.
A
lot of hot air in there. With us is, I, of course, am Tony Trupiano. Rob Call is on the phone with us from Philadelphia. He is the founder and editor of opednews.com. Jamie Flanagan, producer extraordinaire. Mark Connes, nationally syndicated radio show host. Mark and I actually began our paths together almost to the day.
That's right. At a small local station here in Detroit, WPON, as we lovingly refer to it, WPON.
Yeah. Well, hey, it served me well. It served me.
I did me too. I joke about it, but
I absolutely have no problem with WPON at all, and certainly it was the beginning of my start. Rob, thank you for staying with us, and welcome back. Certainly one of the issues that comes out of 2003 is the war on Iraq. We certainly cannot walk away from doing a show without talking about that. Rob, you were saying in the last hour that one of the reasons Op-Ed News began, perhaps the major reason Op-Ed News began, was because of the war in Iraq. Obviously, there's been a lot of spin on this from the national media. The reality is, as we continue to take a look at all the bloodshed, by the way, 10 American soldiers killed this week alone, and it's Tuesday. It's Tuesday, guys. Mm-hmm. And this is after the combat's over with.
Didn't we win already, though?
Yeah. Win what?
Yeah.
Win what? Okay. Yeah. I'm with you, Jamie. Rob, obviously, you have something to say about the war in Iraq.
Well, you know, as we were going into it, and I watched Colin Powell speak at the UN, you know, I just saw him lying, and I knew then. I mean, now we know that what he said then was a bunch of bull, and that the whole story on why we're going into Iraq was just a lie. But what is tragic is the other day I heard some Republicans say, well, we haven't been attacked in this country. Yeah, we haven't. We've sent 120,000 of our young people there to act as bait to draw them away from the U.S. And now they're sitting ducks waiting there to be killed 10, 20 a week so that they can say, we haven't been hit here in this country. And meanwhile, they've totally failed at going after terrorism. I mean, it's a joke. It's an outrage.
Well, you know, one of the things that we talked about yesterday, and I guess we'll segue into this a little bit, Rob, is the war. I think that the war on terror is kind of an oxymoron. I don't know that you can ever win the war on terror. I don't even know what a war on terror entails. I think that you can have a better understanding of it. I think you can increase the intelligence. I think that you can do a better job of policing the world. But I don't think you can eliminate terror, because terror doesn't live in a country. It lives in a person, and people are mobile.
You know, you're right. What I just did was I fell into adapting the language of the Bush administration, because the only way we're going to get rid of terrorism is to stop having a war mentality, really.
No, there's no question. Let me remind everybody, and I'll get some comments from Mark and Jamie, the phone number if you'd like to join us, 1-800-825-5937, and the email tony@thetonyshow.com. Mr. Hannes, your thoughts?
The part of the problem that we have, the reason we're in such a quagmire, in such a position, there is a big segment of the world that hates the United States. And they hate the United States, whether there's a Republican president, whether there's a Democratic president, whether we're being progressive or whether we're being conservative. They hate the United States because we stand for things that are just the opposite. When you have so many of the Middle Eastern countries are still based on a feudal Islamic type of a government, which limits freedoms, and then you have the United States, which is a information powerhouse that blows past the walls, and then you become the great Satan. Now, the fact that we've done some horrendously stupid things in the region, where we condemn terrorism by Islamic nations, but do not hold Israel up to the same light of truth, and realizing that Israel does do things that are as wrong as any other nation does in the region, is a difficult thing. And the war on terrorism, I don't think there's anything that we can do to stop them from coming after us, unless we do go into a total a country of appeasers either, because I don't think we want to appease terrorist factions either. Now, does going in and taking the war in Iraq, does that stop anything? Probably not.
No probablys about it.
But does it also, though, give some of the regimes who actually would harbor and support terrorism at least cause? When we first went into Iraq, I was not opposed to going into Iraq. I thought all the reasons they gave were BS. I knew that from the beginning. But I knew that we had to have a presence in the Middle East militarily, and it couldn't be in Israel. Now, I think we made a mistake with Iraq.
Why do you say that we needed to have a presence?
Well, I think we had to draw a line in the sand as a country and say, hey, you know what? You attack us, we come back. But the problem
why
is
Saddam Hussein? He didn't attack us.
No, because as far as Saddam Hussein does, what he was the most he was the Hitlerian figure in that region. It didn't matter what you, what religion you were, what kind of person you were. If you opposed to Saddam, you were killed.
All right. Well, we're going to come back to that. I want to get some comments from Jamie. We've got some calls to get to. Jamie Flanagan.
Well, yeah, my question was, you know, was it necessary? Was it a justified action going in there? And when you strip away the packaged press and you get the information from people like Rob, and we're finding out that, no, it was not a justified move or a reasonable maneuver at all.
And, Rob, we now know that there was a diplomatic solution.
You know, this goes administration... back a couple of steps, though. You know, the problem is this is about energy. And the fact is that we have a government that is not trying or taking any responsible efforts to come up with alternatives to fossil fuels. We're running out of them. They're going to be gone soon, whether or not we have Iraqi oil. We have to do something about that. And if we tried to do something like that, then we wouldn't have this problem. This is we're desperate for oil, and basically that is a reality. And we're in that situation because of a failure of administrations, and it's probably the Clinton administration too, to husband our resources and to move us into a future that does not depend on fossil fuels.
Well, there's no question that we need to be very, very clear about what we have to do. And this goes actually back, Jamie, to the science question. If we're not developing scientific and mathematical minds,
amen,
then there are no solutions in the future.
No.
Rob, would you agree with that?
We're developing Michael Jackson story-following minds. The way the news is developing our minds is frightening. And what I wanted to say about science is getting people to be interested in science is like getting people to be interested in anything else. It's the media creating stories that are engaging, that capture people's imagination. And it's just as doable as the stories about Michael Jackson.
No, and I don't disagree with any of that. Very quickly before we go to the phones, Mark, this country... yes, this country is not well liked, but it is what we stand for, not who we are as people.
I agree with you.
It is all the symbols.
Oh, sir, exactly.
Of wealth and greed and this seeming, I don't know, selfishness that the Western culture has.
But hasn't every culture throughout history that was in power have that same thing, that when you have the power and you have the wealth, You covet it and want to keep it? Because, I mean, if you want to look back at ancient China when they were in control of the region, or if you look at Japan when they were in their imperialistic mode, it is in each society that is the essence of success.
All right. We've got full phone lines, so let's go to the phone. Again, the number 1-800-825-5937. We're going to go at line 4 first. We're going to go to Susan, who's on a cell. Susan, welcome. Tony Truppiano, Mark Connors, Jamie Flanagan, Rob Call with you, taking a look back at 03. Susan, what's on your mind?
Well, I'll tell you what's on my mind. You guys are talking about why our country is not liked by the people in the Mideast and these other countries. I don't even think it's that they don't like us because we're in power or anything. I think it's because when we go over and we supposedly help these countries, we're going over there and saying, we're going to help you, irregardless of how your culture is. We go over as a nation and we try to impose our lifestyle, our religion, and everything else that we think is right on them. I mean, you cannot tell me that going over there as like with the Bush administration, everything is so into Christianity. We have a Christian-based prison in Florida now. He has a religion-based charitable contribution committee now in Washington where we're giving federal money to charities to supposedly help people. You cannot tell me that when you do this, you are not imposing your views on them. If these people want to remain Muslim, we should not allow our religious beliefs, you know, individuals' religious beliefs to get involved. And how about our meddling in Central America all those years behind the scenes? People don't like us because we've not been proven to be trustworthy in our international dealings with people. We're always trying to impose our way of life in our government on people, irregardless of what the individuals want.
Well, I think any clear-thinking, educated person knows that democracy does not work. American democracy will not work in the Middle East. There's just no way it can.
No, it's not going to. And I was even reading in the paper today, well, they're rethinking our wonderful Bush administration, who thought that they could go in and rework an entire country to be a duplicate of this one. They're finding out that there's so much resistance to that because that is not what those people want. If we want to help, it should be just like, if I give you a gift, you should be able to do with that gift what you want. If I give another country money and say, here is aid to feed your people, I shouldn't sit there and say, well, now you've got to eat beef, even if their whole culture is based on goat.
Hey, and before we go to break here, Susan, first of all, thank you for your call. And Deborah in number 12, we'll get to you after the break. The reality is Iran today, they've got this massive earthquake, 50,000 people dead, and they're saying to the U.S., I don't care what you do for us, doesn't make anything better. Makes nothing better between us. Rob Call, Mark Connors, Jamie Flanagan, I'm Tony Trupiano, 800-825-59.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak. And I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if
If you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Radio Network.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
All righty. Welcome back. 24 minutes after the hour. We're going to get to some emails in a little bit. We've got lots of them to get to as well. And your calls, 1-800-825-5937. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.com. Mark Connison in studio with me. Jamie Flanagan in studio with me. And on the phone, Rob Call, who is the editor and founder of opednews.com. Mr. Hannes, you have a comment?
Yeah, I just want to make one thing clear. When I was talking about the war on terrorism, I think we should have gone into Iraq. What I don't like about the Bush administration, they felt they had to lie to us. They couldn't give the absolute reason. Tony, you and I both live in the Detroit area that has a lot of Iraqi Americans who live here.
Yeah, in my own backyard.
The atrocities that Saddam Hussein was involved in was a good enough reason. And all the other smoke and mirrors is the problem, and the Bush administration lied to us.
Right, but let me, and Rob, help me out here a moment before we go to a call. Explain to Mark that we did find out after the war that we had a diplomatic solution to ousting Saddam Hussein, and the Bush administration ignored it.
Well, I got to start off by saying there are dozens of countries with horrible leaders where we could have taken the same approach, and the problem is that what Bush did was he decided to take a step before anything happened. He decided that it was okay. What's the word? I'm blocking one.
Preemptive? He was preemptive.
Yes, preemptive. This is a whole new era in American history. This preemptive attack. And it's something that America never did before, and that it stood against. And I think it was a major mistake. I supported George W.'s father's attack of Iraq when Iraq went into Kuwait, and I was for that. And but this one, the UN had things under control. There was no reason to go in there. Saddam was impotent for the most part, and he was a bad guy doing bad things to his people. But frankly, if you look at the worker laws in this country, if you look at the environmental laws, you could probably say that with close to 300 million people, George Bush has killed and maimed more people just by his influence on laws. Now, you know, the Republicans are going to say, ah, you're crazy. But the fact is that it's all spin.
Now, it is all spin. Let's try to get a quick call in before the bottom of the hour. We'll welcome Deborah in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Deborah, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony, and it's good to hear you taking over for Mike while he's away.
It's very kind.
I did want to disagree with Rob on his point that, you know, the U.S. really had no choice but to be either an attacker or an appeaser. As far as the Middle East is concerned, you know, we have no real understanding as a country of the psychology of the Middle East or what people's actual needs are. I think that rather than attacking or appeasing, had we worked for peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians assiduously, that the entire region would have calmed down. You know, we all know that Iraq was cobbled together, you know, at the fall of the Ottoman Empire and end of World War II by Britain. They were three basic regions that had no common ground, and that nothing short of a dictatorship as ugly as Saddam could have held them together with brute force, because, you know, they're like oil and water. I just think we have to get past these dualities of attacker or appeaser. We not only attacked, but we simultaneously appeased actually bin Laden, because, you know, lo and behold, he wanted us to remove our bases from the holy lands of, you know, Mecca and Medina. Well, guess what? He got what he wanted. We moved our bases to Iraq, you know? We were both an attacker and an appeaser.
All right, Deborah, we're going to have to leave it there. We've got to go to a break. Rob, I'll let you respond to that on the other side of this. And it's 29 minutes after the hour. I'm Tony Trupiano in for Mike Malloy on this Tuesday night. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Hi, this is Char Jones, Operations Department for IE America Radio Network. Please be safe this holiday season and have a happy new year.
Scientists hope to use a few thousand animals and 10 years of work to paint a new picture of the Pacific Ocean. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Randy Kochivar says it's hard to learn about the lives of sharks, whales, and other creatures in the Pacific Ocean for a simple reason. You can't see them. Kochivar is a marine biologist at the Monterey Bay Aquarium in California, and he says there's still a lot to learn about where animals in the open ocean feed and breed.
If we wanted to describe the African savanna, you know, you could close your eyes and just picture what it would look like to see lions roaming around and chasing zebras and chasing giraffes and so on. But if I asked you to do the same exercise in the Pacific Ocean, you couldn't do that. We don't have that view, that sort of mountaintop looking down view of the interactions of these animals. And it's because we can't just see through water.
Kochivar is working with an international team of scientists to overcome that obstacle. They're attaching sophisticated tags onto 4,000 or 5,000 animals that include whales, sharks, fish, and turtles. The tags carry electronic devices that record location, water temperature, and other information. The tags on the sharks transmit data to satellites. Tags on fish like tuna will be recovered when the fish are caught by sport or commercial fishers.
With these new electronic technologies that we're using to tag and follow these animals, we begin to get that kind of a view of where these animals go and what the forces are that drive those movements.
Kochivar says the project will last for 10 years and describe the travels of 22 species in a completely new way. He says that will help scientists and government managers find ways to protect them from the increasing pressures of pollution and sport and commercial fishing. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Hi, this is Suzanne Gowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damschutter.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family, cheers. Have a
happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
Absolutely. 33 minutes after the hour, the email address again, tony@thetonyshow.com. Jamie Flanagan has left the building. Jamie, thank you for the time that you spent with us. Mark Connison, studio with me. Rob Cole from opednews.com on the line. We're going to go back to the phone, Char. We're going to welcome number 12, my friend James in Santa Fe. James, how are you? Happy New Year to you, friend.
You can't say my name. It's only my number.
Oh, number 12.
Hey, you know what? One thing that bugs me when I listen to all left-wing talk radio, and it's this white liberal guilt. It really is just a repellent. There's nothing wrong with this country. This is a great country.
White
great,
liberal guilt?
Listen, hold on. It's a great country and a great culture, and people call in and they somehow imply that, you know, all this evil and greed is indigenous to Western culture. I'm sorry. If an Islamic feudalistic state had as much power as the United States of America, there would be nothing but worldwide bloodshed until you're, like, kicked on your knees and praying to Allah. I'm sorry. It is power and corruption does not discriminate on what it destroys. It destroys everything it comes in contact with equally. So I don't buy this stuff, like, you know, the greed and the inherent degeneracy of the Western culture versus any other culture.
Well, you know what? I guess I've never been wealthy enough for greed to be a factor in my life, number 12. I certainly, I guess, have seen the green-eyed monster, that envy thing, in my life. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been envious over certain people
and
situations.
I want money, lots of money.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, so I do I have white liberal guilt? I might.
I think some people that call on your show do, and that, you know, all the evils and the degeneracy and the horribleness and the greediness of Western culture and Western society, it's humanity. These are the same people that will turn right around and say all people are the same on the planet Earth. But for some reason, people that are, like, you know, of European descent or of European culture are somehow worse than people of other cultures.
No, all evil from Western culture is from my ex-wife. I'm pretty much convinced of that. Yeah. She's the source of all evil.
You know, we need to talk about that sometime. you know, Rob, let me bring you back into this, because the caller before the break had dragged you in. I wanted to give you a chance to respond to that.
Yeah, frankly, I couldn't hear her. Her voice was real low, and I couldn't hear much of what she had to say. Could you capsulize what it was?
Well, I don't know. What's the best way to capsulize
what she's
it?
Saying is that we don't have to be an appeaser, or do we have to be a... that was strange. Be an appeaser, nor do we have to be a... be in a situation where we have to be an attacker. And when we went into Iraq, we were both attackers and appeasers. We attacked and we appeased Saddam. We attacked Saddam Hussein and we appeased bin Laden because we removed all of our bases from around the holy cities of Mecca and gave him what he wanted. And what we need to do is to reach out and just understand these people and where they're coming from, and that from World War II on, with the fact that we created Iraq, that Britain did out of the shards of World War II and created Israel, that's where the problem all stemmed from.
Well, first of all, it wasn't bin Laden we were appeasing. We were appeasing the Saudis, who were the dear close friends of the Bushes. I mean, it was the Bush, you know, the Saudis are such a huge problem in this situation of terrorism. They're the ones funding the madrasas, tens of thousands of these fundamentalist schools where they're taught to hate Westerners. So if there was any appeasement, it wasn't for Al-Qaeda. It was for the Saudi princes, Prince Bandar and his gang, the 800 millionaire descendants of the Saudi king who was appointed by the Brits back, 80 years ago, 70 years ago.
Okay. What I want to do now, and Char, for some reason I'm getting an echo.
This very strange sound.
Yeah. When you got rid of the last caller, it happened. Don't know what happened there. Anyway, I want to get to one more call, and then we're going to move on to some other issues. Again, our number, 1-800-825-5937. The email, tony@thetonyshow.com. Welcome Armin in Florida. Armin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. First, I'd have to say you'd have to be willing to.
Okay. Armin, are you still there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, that's better. Now we're
first, you'd have to be interested in buying the Brooklyn Bridge for a $100 bill to think in any remote possibility that we didn't know what Saddam was or is. Way back in the 50s, the late 50s.
Well, you know, and we don't need to repeat all this, but
let me get specific. Okay, I have an article here from the 91 January 91 Reader's Digest, and it says how we appeased the tyrant, and it says Saddam Hussein's military industrial might was amassed in large measure through American and European greed and gullibility. And then I've got another article from The Spotlight, and it's June 10th, 1996, when we had the 12-year sanctions that, you know, eliminated how many people? 1.5 million of their people. And it says in the June 10th, 1996 Spotlight that Israel vagrantly violated U.N. sanctions against Iraq, put in place at the behest of the United States on behalf of Israel. But Israel used the trade embargo to secretly make millions. And the fact of the matter is, you know, this government, and there's a lot of people that was in Bush 1's government that's in the government now, Bush 2, that were dealers and wheelers and stuff, making money over there and stuff. So you guys still listening?
Yes, sir.
You got it.
So you have to conclude. My opinion, this is my opinion, and I feel I have to conclude that there was a sinister conspiracy, and they wanted to get Iran, Iraq, and destabilize it over there and sell them all the arms they could, thinking they could always go in and reach their optimum goal, which is to take a hold of the oil and control that Mideast by stirring it all up good first and not letting them get superior. And if you don't believe that sinister argument, then you have to think it's a bunch of goofy jerks and think tanks that can't do anything right, but they just so happen to always get filthy rich and make millions and billions of dollars on their actions.
All right. Armin, I want to thank you for your thoughts, and I appreciate you taking the time to share that with us.
Well, the reality is we did arm Saddam Hussein to take on Iran during Carter and during Reagan.
Reagan. Yeah,
we sure did. The thing is, the United States has been a comedy of errors for years, thinking that if we arm one tyrant to take on another where it's going to work out. You know what? Maybe we shouldn't arm any of them.
I don't want to pick on you, Mark. I just got an email from a lady, and she is putting Rob's words or your words in Rob's mouth.
Oh, no, this is me, Mark.
Wait. Okay. You said that going into Iraq, you understood why we did it.
Yes.
All right. She thought Rob said that.
I just want to
separate those.
Yeah, Rob didn't say that. That was me.
So we want to make that clear.
Yeah, let's not sully Rob's good name with my insanity. I wouldn't want to do that. Remember, I do animal talk. So when I'm talking politics, it's like cleaning a litter box. That's exactly where you should take it.
Okay. Let's move on to some other very important and interesting stories. We've got an election coming up in 2004, Rob Call, and after the debacle of 2000, we are supposedly going to have some kind of voting reform in this country. Nothing that anybody would be happy with, especially with the technology that's been proposed and who owns and is developing that technology. The truth is, even though this administration might even admit that it's less than perfect, some are saying it's better than what we had. The truth is, in my opinion anyway, it's just not true. I'm talking about electronic voting.
Absolutely. I was glad to see Wesley Clark was saying today that he's going to, if he's the candidate, then he's going to post people to check, which is, I don't know that it's possible. You know, I was involved in developing a couple software programs, and it is so easy to develop software that anybody can get into. And we already know that Diebold totally blew it, that they have we now have a record of it. Bev Harris has showed us that Diebold let their passwords out, that they used unapproved versions of the software.
Amazing, isn't it?
I mean, it's a frightening horror story, and the shame is that it's not the front page story in all the newspapers and on TV. And of course, you know, one of the other stories that's a horror this year is the death of the American media. I mean, we don't have any kind of healthy media anymore. What we're doing here is the way an awful lot of people have to go to get any kind of news that they can trust.
Well, the thing that blows my mind on the electronic voting, I don't care what political party you're in, why would you want to support that if there is no hard copy evidence to go back to and redo? Because we've all got computers now, at least most of us. Who hasn't gotten a virus?
You want to support it because you think your side is going to take better advantage of it because your side has the people who own the equipment and control it. That's why the last time I checked, the legislative initiative in the Congress by, is it Joe Holt?
Yes.
Rush Holt. Yeah. When I last spoke with his office, and with him even, there had not been one Republican signing on to that. That may have changed. It may be bipartisan now. It sure seems like it should be a bipartisan issue.
You would think.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I go with the... And I may be incorrect who said this quote, but I love my country, but I fear my government. And I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat. The problem is, one of the things that was said is true by number 12, is that when you put that much power in any human being's hands, you could be concerned about the ideal their idealism being corrupted by the power and influence that they wield. And it's one of the reasons with government we have the checks and balance system in the United States, and we got to keep that pushing strong because it scares me. It scares me to death.
Those balances are getting lost. I mean, just think about these judges that Bush is appointing who are so horrendous that their records are horrifying. Now, we recently had a judge declare that the way that the fellow, I think he's, was from Chicago, the Hispanic guy who was had some goofy idea to blow up a dirty bomb. What was his name? Padilla?
Padilla.
He was not being treated given his rights. Do you think that these judges that Bush was trying to appoint would have given him the light of day?
Absolutely not.
I mean, so where we're going is a loss of the separation of power.
You know, let's talk about what – I don't think we live in a democracy. We live in a republic.
Absolutely.
Because we elect people that make the laws. The people don't make the laws. The people that we elect make them.
Yeah, we're in a constitutionally limited republic. That's what was set up by the Founding Fathers.
And so when we talk about democracy, what does that mean? What is that – I mean, do we really define democracy – In what way? And I'm asking, it's a legitimate question. I'm asking you, Mark, Rob, I'm asking, how do you define democracy?
I think a constitutionally limited republic is probably the most equitable form of government we've come up with so far. Because in a pure democracy, part of what can happen is if people with blue eyes are the minority, they will lose every single time. And they could become, you could create a persecuted class. It's the whole classic thing from government and from college. And the reality is, at least in a constitutionally limited republic, the Constitution sets forth the guidelines and the limits. It's one of the reasons why it's so hard to get a constitutional amendment in our Constitution. Thank goodness. It takes a supermajority of all kinds of different ways to change the Constitution. And I think that safeguards our rights best than anything else we have. Except for what happens is we're getting judges appointed that are writing law, not interpreting the Constitution, and that's frightening.
Yeah, Rob, your thoughts?
I think we have one of the oldest democracies, and we're stuck with some compromises that were made to bring together people with very different interests, and actually there are a number of countries that have parliamentary governments that probably are more democratic than what we have. We have a country that broke the mold, that led history to make it happen, but we're stuck with the electoral college, which is not a representative form of government, and we're never going to get out of it.
That's the stupidest thing in the world.
I've been reading a book I picked up at an auction the other day. It was a history of the Republican Party published in 1880. And, you know, until about the early 1800s, the first couple elections, it was almost like better than we have now. They had instant runoff, kind of. The president got the first, whoever got the most votes was president.
Whoever got the second most votes was vice president. And then they got rid of that. And they got it, so it was a team.
What an idea. Quickly, before we get to the break and we're up against it, David in Alabama joins us. David, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'd like to make mention to, it has something to do with what you're saying. What the trouble with the United States is, the United States is being ran by the Federal Reserve, which is a, the rich families of Europe and that kind of stuff. But I noticed on the news the other day, I saw the New Year's Eve ball that's come down every year up in Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
They have this symbol of the triangle with all CNI, which is, that has something to do with the Illuminati and the
Trilateral Commission.
And all that stuff, and it's practiced by the occult and all that. And that's who's running this country.
The Trilateral Commission.
That's who's running the show these days.
You know, and I keep applying to them, and they won't accept my application because...
Change your name.
There you
just
go.
Just try changing your name, because God knows you're good looking enough.
You know, Tony, we haven't talked about the most important thing that happened in this last year. Britney Spears and Madonna's kiss. Now, that's a newsworthy issue.
You know, you and I'll get to that over a drink after the show. Rob Call, stay where you're at. Mark Conniss is with us. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll take a break and be right back.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
We here at IE America Radio Network make sure that our listeners are informed about many different subjects in many different ways. And this is why we partner with Earthwatch Radio to bring you environmental research and related topics in concise two-minute reports that are scientifically accurate, clearly written, and played at the bottom of every hour here on IE America Radio Network. But did you know that you can get even more great information about the environment and related issues at www.ewradio.org? This website contains an enormous amount of information on a wide range of subjects that concern science and the environment. Earthwatch Radio gives special attention to the global climate change, the Great Lakes, and the oceans, and it's all information that you need to know about. So get informed by going to www.ewradio.org and listen to the Earthwatch Radio two-minute program at the bottom of every hour, every day, here on IE America Radio Network. It's our world. Let's learn how to take care of it. If you can't listen to the Earthwatch Radio program on your radio station, you can listen to it on our website's live streaming at www.ieamericaradio.com.
Show. Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network. Until midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And we are back. Just a few minutes left in the balance this hour, taking a look back at 2003. Did you have a comment, Mr. Hannes?
Britney Spears kissing Madonna, okay, to me. And the other one was that I thought was an important issue that was ground-shaking was when Roy of Siegfried of Roy was finally got inside a big cat.
Okay. That's a nice way of saying, never
it's,
mind.
It's the first time he went, never mind.
This is a family show.
Well, anyway, and Mr. Rogers died, too.
And Mr. Rogers died.
See,
there are some great things that some great people died. John Ritter died, but,
Johnny Cash. You know, the sad thing is, these are the things people are going to remember more than dealing with election reform and dealing with the war. That's the thing that concerns me, that people are going to be looking for the pablum of the news rather than the key issues.
That brings up a good point. Rob, let me ask you, when you get just emails from people that write you about the site, because I'm sure you get some of them, you know, they'll just write you and say, hey, really great thing you're doing. What are the negatives that people write you about?
I get right-wingers saying, hey, this is really a bunch of dumb stuff. You're a loser.
Even though it's all fact and it can be linked to factual information and real people, it's all lies, right?
They've been programmed. I mean, they've been listening to Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Foxed Up News. They've got a brain that has been spun and tilted and twisted and. It doesn't work quite right anymore. I mean, look, let's face it. People who watch Fox News are misinformed. They don't know what is reality in the world. And then they listen to Rush Limbaugh. And I get, you know, it's funny. I get people who are Rush Limbaugh and his copier listeners, and they all talk the same. They all use the same kind of language. And, you know, I mentioned before how I fell into that, and I was talking about the war on terrorism. Well, this idea of a war on terrorism is the power of words. I've written a couple times about that we need to create our own memes.
Yeah, you're right.
Phrases and words, ideas, because They use them so effectively.
Virus of the Mind, one of my favorite books.
Yes.
One of my favorite books.
The Philosophy of Language.
The Philosophy?
The Philosophy of Language.
Is that kind of like something to eat on a bun? Or? Anyway, we got to take a break for the top of the hour. Rob Call, Mark Connors, I'm Tony Trupiano. This is the Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy.
I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years
I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no. This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. George W. Bush again ranks as the man most admired by Americans, but First Lady Laura Bush came in third among women in the annual poll. For the second year in a row, Democratic Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton of New York was the most admired woman. The former First Lady was the first or second choice of 16% in a USA Today CNN Gallup poll. Her memoir, Living History, is a bestseller this year. Last year, 7% chose her. TV host Oprah Winfrey was second this year and in 2002. Laura Bush was also third last year. She placed first in 2001 after the September 11th terrorist attacks. A spacecraft is on track to fly through the tail of a comet on Friday, collecting hundreds of specks of the primitive material from which the sun, the planets, and all living creatures are made, NASA said. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration Stardust spacecraft is expected to pass within 186 miles of the comet Vild 2 as it catches the shimmering gas and dust cloud that envelops the dirty ball of ice and rock. The unmanned probe should make its closest approach at 2:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Friday, when the comet and probe will be 242 million miles from Earth, mission members said Tuesday at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Hundreds of relatives will be getting a free ride to visit soldiers wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan at military hospitals around the country. Operation Hero Miles is giving 680 free plane tickets to families and friends of wounded troops. Since November, the program has also been providing free plane tickets home for soldiers on leave from Iraq and Afghanistan using donated frequent flyer miles. The tickets will be distributed through the Fisher House Foundation, a nonprofit organization that opens its 32 homes across the country to military families. The official U.S. population will rise to over 292 million on the first day of the new year, an increase of nearly 3 million in a year, according to the Census Bureau, which says the country now adds a person every 12 seconds. More news after this.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today won't be around for our children and grandchildren. The Earth's resources are limited. Voluntary family planning improves health while helping slow population growth, and that's good for our planet. Help build a healthy future for us all. Visit www.populationaction.org.
A New York man who says he sells books and magazines on the street was rescued after being trapped for 2 days under a mountain of reading material in his apartment. Patrice Moore had apparently been standing up when the books, catalogs, mail, and newspapers swamped him on Saturday. Firefighters and neighbors rescued him on Monday afternoon, and he was hospitalized in stable condition Tuesday morning with leg injuries. This is Don Waller in New York. For all of us at IE America Network News, Happy New Year.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Few things that we eat are as good or good for us as a nice piece of fresh pink salmon pulled out of the cold, pristine waters of our northern oceans and rivers. Or at least, that's the image of this noble fish. For wild salmon, the image is true. But 80% of the salmon sold in U.S. markets and restaurants today comes from fish farms. More and more, these are corporate-owned, industrialized operations that jam tens of thousands of salmon together in ocean pens, much as the infamous hog, poultry, and beef factories do on land. The top priority of these operations is quick profit, based on high volume and shortcuts on costs. There's no free lunch, so the price of these quick profits is paid by others. Start with the fish. Jammed together, they suffer abrasions and diseases that have to be dealt with by dousing them with pesticides in the water and feeding them antibiotics. Many escape from their pens into the surrounding ocean, and since they've been artificially fattened, they're huge and able to decimate the stocks of wild salmon. The environment pays, too. The toxics dumped in these factory pens contaminate the surrounding water, as does the enormous amount of fish waste. A single pen produces more waste than a small city, and these outfits typically have 20 pens each. Then there's us. The factory salmon grow huge, but they have twice the saturated fat of wild salmon and less of the fatty acids that make salmon good for us. They also bring more toxic contaminants to our tables, and get this, they have to be artificially colored. While wild salmon get naturally pink from their diet of shrimp and krill, the factories feed their salmon a fish meal that produces fast weight gain but leaves them gray or khaki in color. So petrochemicals are added to produce a made-to-order range of light pink to red coloring. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help stop the damage being done by these salmon factories, call Environmental Defense, 212-505-2100.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows till you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening. This is the IE America Radio Network.
Special guest host, Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody. The last hour of the Molloy Show for this Tuesday, the 30th day of December, and the last live program for the Molloy Show this year, 03. Rob Call is with us from Philadelphia on the phone. He is the editor and co-founder of opednews.com. Mark Connors along as well, nationally syndicated radio show host, marketing expert as well. And a pleasure to have you both with us. We're taking a look back at 2003. If you wanted to join us, the phone number is 1-800-825-5937. The email address, once again, tony at the, TonyShow.com. Rob, welcome back.
Hello.
Let's briefly get into some, obviously, a big story in 03, which will become a bigger story in 04, is the presidential election. Obviously, there's a great deal of interest among this audience to see a Democrat elected. Rob, your thoughts on the viability of that at this point in the process?
I think the main issue is going to be the safety and reliability of voting, electronic voting and voter rolls, unless there is some serious vigilance to make sure that the people who have the right to vote get to and that they're properly counted and recountable. I don't think there's a chance at all. If we get past that, and that's a big if, then I do think it's very possible that we can get rid of this lying crook who should be in jail.
And you're talking about George Bush, of course.
For starters, yeah.
Okay. Mark, your thoughts at this point in the election process. I understand the primary is just a few weeks away in
right.
Iowa. We've got New Hampshire right behind it. The primary season, by the way, has changed. We should probably talk about that a little bit. But as of right now, do you think a Democrat can win back the White House?
At this moment, if there was an election, no.
No. Okay. And I think that's a fair assessment, by the way.
Because I think that the problem is that the media and, in a certain extent, the Democratic Party has done a great job in a lot of issues as painting themselves as a special interest party. And with a lot of help from the Republican Party and a lot of help from a lot of media outlets, that is the perception. And what they've done is they've taken each of the candidates and plugged them into their interest or their little clique and marginalized them. And unless there's a strong media voice that speaks for the American middle class and for the American dream for where people live and how they live their lives, we're going to have 4 more years of Bush.
Well, 4 more years of Bush means the end of a generation. It means really an abortion of our future in a positive way, in my opinion. That would be my opinion. Let's take a look, Rob, at some individual candidates. I'm not asking you to endorse one, just asking for your opinions on some of the major candidates, if you will. Let me start with Dennis Kucinich, only because oftentimes when his name comes up, it is followed by, it's a shame he can't win. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, he came in second when MoveOn.org ran their internet primary. I think more than 1 million people voted in that. When I do, you know, back then when he ran that primary, I played around with some website tracking technology, and I was able to predict that Dean won within less than 1% of what he won by. And it's pretty simple stuff to access. It's Alexa.com. It's a company owned by Amazon, and I've been tracking it periodically since May, and Kucinich is in second place in terms of website activity. Kucinich is very active on the web, and a lot of buzz going on with him. I don't think he should be ruled out. I like Kucinich. He's my favorite. I've sent him money. I've sent Dean money. Although, when it comes to Dean, you know, the amazing thing is that it's the huge lie that the echo chamber of the right has been playing with Dean. You know, the echo chamber is all the talk shows and the columnists and the think tanks. They all get together and they echo this the same line. Well, the line is that Dean is a liberal. Dean's not a liberal. My problem with him is he's a conservative guy. I mean, and it is such a huge lie when you hear Fox talk about how liberal he is.
Well, the problem is you shouldn't listen to Fox, but that's another conversation. Okay,
I know your enemy.
Yeah, well, that's true. All right, so I understand your thoughts now on Kucinich and Dean. Let's talk a little bit about Dick Gephardt. There was a time midsummer where people were saying, hey, listen, Dick Gephardt's too much a part of the machine, Rob Call. There's no way that we're going to elect out of the primaries a part of the political machine. That may be changing a little bit. His poll numbers continue to increase, and he is now, as a matter of fact, I saw today for the first time here in the Detroit area a Gephardt for President commercial. He's becoming more vocal. He's becoming he's coming out of the box a little bit. Your thoughts on Dick Gephardt?
Well, when we lost the Senate, and Gephardt was the minority leader in the House. The guy is nothing but a compromise of a compromise of a compromise. He's a little bit left of Lieberman, I guess, but he's I don't think he's going to. He's a guy who is pro union, but Kucinich talks policy that's a heck of a lot better than Gephardt does. The guy just does nothing for me at all. I don't think he's, you know, Al Gore was bland and boring. Well, Gephardt is just the same. He's a nothing. We need somebody with passion, with spirit, with guts. I mean, I literally take Lieberman over Gephardt, even though Lieberman is so right wing. I mean, and I don't like Lieberman, and I don't want Lieberman, but at least he's got some guts and a sense of humor.
All right, let's very very quickly before we go back to the phones. John Kerry seems to be in trouble with his campaign, mortgaging his house, spending his wife's inheritance. Does he really have a chance to make it through the first half of the primary season?
Boy, who knows? I give him a lot of credit. He's a viable candidate. I could support him. But what he has failed to do is put together an organization that's effective. And I think that's one thing you got to give Dean a lot of credit for. Part of making this all work is leadership and pulling together the right people. Kerry has failed to do that. He had the ingredients. What he didn't have, in terms of who he is, in terms of his background, his profile, but his own leadership has failed him.
Absolutely true. And last but not least, although you briefly talked about Joe Lieberman, here's a guy that I think was, as my buddy Mark Honnis would say, lost in sauce.
Yep.
And he just doesn't, to me, he just doesn't get it.
Well, you know, what really bothers me lately is the way he and Gephardt and Kerry have been going after Dean. I mean, you want to win, but you don't want to, you know, destroy the Democratic chances while you're doing it. They're saying things now that will come back to haunt Dean if he gets it. And I don't think it's a good thing.
Well, I don't think it's a good thing either. The Democratic Party is under horrible leadership, in my opinion, from Terry McAuliffe, who should be directing this thing behind the scenes. And it seems to me that he's just letting it go willy-nilly any way he wants. We're going to go to the phones again. Our number, 1-800-825-5937, and the email address, tony@thetonyshow.com. We'll welcome Brian in New Hampshire. Brian, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yeah, I wanted to say to your animal talk guy there, is his name Mark?
Yes,
you
it
got
is.
It.
Yeah, I'm trying to make out that my American Eskimo dog here, Casper's kind of sighing in disgust at what you're saying here. but what I'm saying, I think we're making it into too simple of an argument about the Iraq War. It's whether we should have launched a full scale American armed force invasion of Iraq or not, and it was either that or you're either with that or you're against us if you would all differ with that. And I think the thing is for starters there's 3 million Iraqi exiles who fled Saddam's terror, and out of that you could at least find 30,000 to 50,000 three to four divisions of able-bodied young Iraqi men that should have formed a free Iraqi army. And also, if you remember, as we were advancing on Baghdad, they talked about the regular Iraqi army, which was just conscripts. They were basically press ganged into serving Saddam there, and they got the worst treatment. A lot of them were Shiites. they would have readily, after we took Baghdad, we disbanded them as well, but they would have been ready to be trained as a free Iraqi army by the American forces instead of us telling them to get out of the way, stupid. It's ours now.
Brian, I would like to agree with you. I just can't. I don't believe that the Iraqi men, these young insurgents that hated Saddam, would have come back and fought their own country people.
No,
I just
I think they would have if.
I just don't buy into it, Brian.
You talk about the today's resistance. I'm not talking about that.
No, I'm talking about these 3 million that left the country.
Oh no, I'm not. Well, out of 3 million, you could find we didn't really try to find them because we just had so much. We're the world's only superpower, so we thought we could just. Military.
Well, we're not the world's only superpower.
We could
that's
just
part,
win
see,
it
but,
so readily.
But, Brian, that's part of the American mentality. That
it's
we
not my
are
mentality.
But we are not the world's only superpower.
I'm not. Well, in terms of spending, we are. Except that it gets wasted. They were talking about the rebuilding of schools in Iraq there that by Bechtel, it's a joke. They're just taking. They're even the pig heavens of South Vietnam were more. Efficient than this, these Bechtels and these Halliburtons. I think the Iraqi people, if they don't have the will to fight for their own country, what are we doing there?
They don't have will, period. And that is the whole point, is their will was taken away from them. Brian, they have no will. Let me just make this really, really simple. If you are told every day that you're a piece of, I can't say that on the radio, can I?
Poopy.
Poopy. If you're told that every day, and then when you put your hand out because you're hungry and somebody cuts it off,
right?
After a while, no, you have no will.
And the reality is Saddam Hussein was an unbelievably brutal dictator.
There's no question about it. There's no question. Rob, I want to give you a chance real quick here before we go to break to comment.
No, I'm agreeing with you. There is no country of Iraq. There was this thing that Saddam cobbled together. All those people who left, why would they ever want to go back?
All right, we got to take the break. Kevin in Dearborn Heights when we continue, so you'll...
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't. I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Show.
Jody in Arlington Heights. She said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine. And it seems to be working. There have been times when I've done talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery. But that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear Malloy program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
Yes, it is I, Tony Trupiano, 24 minutes after the hour. Taking a look back, Marconis with me, Rob Call as well from Philadelphia. We'll go back to the phones, and we don't like to keep people waiting too long. Kevin in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Well, great to hear your voice, Kev.
Well, thanks. I laying here in bed. I think I have the flu, and...
Me too.
Yeah, it's terrible. But you guys sparked me up a little bit. I had to get on the phone talking about my guy, Dick Ephart. I know our caller that's with you from Philadelphia. I have to totally disagree with his viewpoint of Dick Ephart.
Tell me, I'm listening.
I think Dick Ephart's been a leader at every position he's ever held in government. He's fought nothing but for middle-class American people. Yes, I'm a union member. I'm the president of a local union here in town, and I know his stand for union. It's positive and supportive, but just not just union. It's middle class America. You know, bar unionism, middle class America better wake up in this next presidential election, and they better take and seize this as the future of their children and their grandchildren. Because if we don't grab a hold of the reins and get the clown from Washington out of here, we will not have a middle class America anymore.
Amen to that, my friend. I couldn't agree with you more.
You know, and you want to talk about a guy that's got a plan. He was instrumental in the Clinton economic program that they had. And if we can all remember back then, our economy was flying probably better than it has run in the last 25 years. He distinctively has a plan to put national health care into effect. And we all know there's 45 million Americans without health care, which is absolutely unfathomable. There's 45 million American people that don't have health care in this country, but we can go out and spend $90 billion trying to put cobblestones back in Iraq.
Kevin, let me interrupt you for just a second, and Rob, ask you this question. You know, obviously, you know, and I guess some people see this as a negative, Rob, but some people can also see it as a positive. Dick Gephart knows D.C. inside and out, backward and forward. There isn't too much stuff you're going to be able to get by Dick Gephart.
Well, I guess you could say that of Lieberman, too, though. But, yeah, it's true. I mean, look, I'll get behind Gephart if he's the man. I'll get behind him. He's not my first pick. He hasn't captured my excitement, enthusiasm. I wish he would. I'd like to hear more from the caller about what he likes about him.
No, go ahead, Kevin. Do you want to talk a little bit further about Gephart?
Well, I just think the guy has a track record that's unmatchable. No, maybe he's not the most charismatic guy when you put the camera on, but you know what? We got one of them in the White House right now, Mr. Smooth. He talked his way right into the White House, and he can't deliver on anything. So I'm not really looking for the President of the United States to be Mr. Charismatic on every time the light goes on. Gephardt has got a consistent plan. I don't see too many of the other candidates out there with a plan. Or they talk about, you know, around issues, but they don't really have a concise plan. And I think Gephardt has a vision on what he would like to implement for this country and for middle-class America.
Kevin, I also think that Gephardt can capture the undecided voter, that vote that kind of floats there, that not quite sure who they are or what they are. And those tend to be people that tend to be, in my opinion, a little bit more thinking and looking at the platform rather than being party specific. And I think that's something that you can bring to the table.
You know, let me make a quick point before we have to take a break here. You know, Kevin, you were on the show the other night. We were talking about the ABB candidate, the anybody but Bush.
Right.
I think that there's a certain truth to that, but I don't want people just to vote for somebody because he's not George Bush, although I'll take it. I want them to be passionate about their candidate. If Dick Gephardt is the party's choice, I'm going to go out there and kick ass for him.
Right.
I'm not going to just endorse him. I'm not going to just vote for him. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to knock on doors. I'm going to put up flyers. I'm going to put up signs. I'm going to educate people. I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to get them excited about this guy. So it's not just about anybody but Bush. Kevin, hey, buddy, feel better. I'll give you a call tomorrow, all right?
Guys, you have a great New Year's, and it was a pleasure last week. And Tony, you're going to be our Democratic Rush Limbaugh soon.
There's a mixed compliment there. We've got to take a quick break. Rob, stay where you're at. We'll be right back.
Vicodin's your friend.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Scientists hope to use a few thousand animals and 10 years of work to paint a new picture of the Pacific Ocean. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Randy Kochivar says it's hard to learn about the lives of sharks, whales, and other creatures in the Pacific Ocean for a simple reason. You can't see them. Kochivar is a marine biologist at the Monterey Bay Aquarium in California, and he says there's still a lot to learn about where animals in the open ocean feed and breed.
If we wanted to describe the African savanna, you know, you could close your eyes and just picture what it would look like to see lions roaming around and chasing zebras and chasing giraffes and so on. But if I asked you to do the same exercise in the Pacific Ocean, you couldn't do that. We don't have that view, that sort of mountaintop looking down view of the interactions of these animals. And it's because we can't just see through water.
Kochivar is working with an international team of scientists to overcome that obstacle. They're attaching sophisticated tags onto 4,000 or 5,000 animals that include whales, sharks, fish, and turtles. The tags carry electronic devices that record location, water temperature, and other information. The tags on the sharks transmit data to satellites. Tags on fish like tuna will be recovered when the fish are caught by sport or commercial fishers.
With these new electronic technologies that we're using to tag and follow these animals, we begin to get that kind of a view of where these animals go and what the forces are that drive those movements.
Kochivar says the project will last for 10 years and describe the travels of 22 species in a completely new way. He says that will help scientists and government managers find ways to protect them from the increasing pressures of pollution and sport and commercial fishing. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And welcome back 33 minutes after the hour. I had to have Mark Connors explain to me during the break. What was that again? I was reading an email.
Yes.
That I am an anus-faced yap.
That means you're a butthole that talks a lot.
Okay.
Just Kate just says helping translate.
All right. Rob, you agree with that assessment?
I got a copy of it, too.
Okay.
And I must admit, among friends, that's your new nickname, dude.
Okay. I'm glad I don't have any friends.
Oh, no, don't worry. Next time we get together for a drink.
No, hey, Brian.
Hey, yap, come here.
Well, now, wait a minute. Let me make a point. Brian, I apologize that I didn't let you articulate to the end where you were trying to go with what you were saying, but, you know, we do have time limits here. And sorry that you felt that way. Anyway, very quickly, we've got some more phone calls to get to and not a whole lot of time to do it. Let me give out the number again, 800-825-5937. Tony@thetonyshow.com is the email. And, again, we've got Mark Connors in studio with us. He is a nationally syndicated talk show host. Rob Call, editor and founder of opednews.com.
And the anus-faced yap.
And the anus-faced yap. I am Tony Trupiano. Let's go to Wayne in Seattle. Wayne, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
All right. Hey, you're doing a great job taking over for Malloy here.
I appreciate that.
You know, I guess I just don't understand why we're devoting so much energy to talking about all the various candidates. I mean, there will be a primary season, and as far as I know, there will only be one candidate of the Democratic Party when that's all over with.
Because if we don't, what can we do on a radio talk show?
No.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No. I'm being silly.
Wayne, the truth is, you know, we're about to get into the primary season.
Uh-huh.
And so, as often happens on this show and other shows, you know, you talk about candidates as if they cannot win. This one doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell. So the only reason that we're doing this is we're taking a look back at 2003. These are the people that are going to be our choices. And so I think it merits some discussion.
Well, you know, I think they're doing the right thing. They're having debates and people are making up their minds. But I guess what I see is there's a lot of internal battling in the Democratic Party, and probably one of the biggest battles is between the grassroots of the Democratic Party and the party insiders like the DLC and, you know, the bigwigs, who don't necessarily like Dean or don't think he can win or whatever. And I think the outcome of that battle is going to be crucial for the party, for the Democratic Party, because if the bigwigs and insiders win out over the grassroots, then what, you know, I see it as just strengthening third-party movements.
Well,
like,
and let me tell you, Wayne, let me tell you right now, the DLC has absolutely screwed themselves when it comes to Howard Dean, because they go out of their way to try to make him look bad. If he is this party's nominee, where's L. Fromm going to be then? Holding his you-know-what in his hand, and that's all he's going to have to hold.
Yeah, and, you know, I think if they do another 1968 when most of the grassroots wanted Eugene McCarthy and Robert Kennedy and they gave us Hubert Humphrey when it was all over, you know, it's going to be just another motivating factor for people who want to go to the Green Party. And they're doing it to themselves. I mean, you hear the Democratic Party complaining a lot about the Green Party, but they're making them as strong as anything else with some of the things that they're doing. You know, it's obvious, you know, people are going to make up their minds and they're going to vote in the primaries and we're going to see what the people think. But my concern is all the internal battling and also that the party insiders are going to pull a fast one and and, you know, not give us the candidate we want.
Well, we'll have to wait and see what happens. I appreciate your call, Wayne. Let's go on to the next call because we just don't have a lot of time left. Susan in Santa Cruz. Susan, nice to talk to you. Blessings to you in this wonderful season. Hope you're well.
Oh, thank you. Well, my throat is a little sore, which is why I didn't want to call. But here I am. It's great to hear you. I love the way you get people talking. I just guess I want to say, I disagree with this last guy because it's really important that we talk about the candidates, especially with the blackout on Kucinich and Sharpton and Carol Mosley Brown. You do not hear anything about them on the regular media. And this is the only place where you can hear discussions. And we have to get to know them. And that forum, that debate forum, is not really a very good way to do it. So I appreciate and applaud you for talking about them.
Well, and again, Susan, we're just trying to educate people. Rob, let me give you a few minutes, Mark, and then I'll give you a few minutes.
Okay.
What was that?
Rob, just if you want to comment on why we're talking, you know, the reason that we continue to dialogue about candidates.
I'm glad you.
I think it's important. I think that I've never seen a time where there was so much debate, so much discussion among candidates. I think it's a good thing in terms of us being able to get to know the candidates. I don't think we've ever had such a chance or opportunity before. But on the other hand, you've got them exposing themselves to attacks and criticism by the right wing. I mean, every day you've got Fox picking up on every little detail and turning it around and trying to make them look bad. So, you know, it's a healthy thing. It's a good thing to have all this discussion. What's unhealthy is when the media decide that one or two of the candidates is not worthy of attention.
I would agree with that. Mark?
And I hope the debate continues, but I certainly hope one thing, that this that the Democratic Party does not make their political campaign running against the war in Iraq as the 99.9% issue, because you're running against something, not running for something. That concerns me a lot. I think that the Democratic Party should focus on the dwindling middle class, focusing on the loss of jobs, and focus on what the American people are looking for.
It has to be a domestic agenda. I just want you both to know I've been downgraded to Mr. Microphone Breath.
Mr. Microphone. I like Anna's face yet better. It has a better ring.
I'm sorry, I'm not Brian. You're going to have to take that issue up with him.
Brian, come on. You can do better than that. I have confidence in you, my friend.
Well, we've got about 20 minutes left of the show. You know, yeah, this election will be, I still believe, will be won or lost on domestic issues, Rob and Mark. And
one of the things I do to make a living is I run a conference that involves positive psychology. And I really believe that the Democrats have to stand up and stand out as a party that has a vision for the future.
Amen.
I've written a couple op-eds, and it's easy to run off dozens of different policy issues where the Democrats have a positive vision. And I think that that's something that the candidates need to do a lot more of, that they can't just depend on bashing Bush and complaining about Iraq, that they've got to come up with positive policies, positive visions of the future that are about humans. I mean, I think one of the big problems that the Republicans and the right wing present to this planet is that they support corporations over humans.
See, that is why in the year 2003, I quit being a conservative Republican and switched sides. It is because of the lack of caring about people. And people matter more than corporations. People matter more than the state.
Well,
it's the individuals.
Well, they should anyway. Let's go. Well, we'll go to the phones in just a second. I want to remind everybody, by the way, the number 1-800-825-5937. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.com. Somebody just sent me an email that said there's a British charity that does an annual poll, and they were asked the question, Rob, who would you rather skydive with, a George W. Bush or Homer Simpson?
Oh.
Homer won big time, man. Homer won in a big way. We're going to go to Francesca in Santa Fe. Francesca, Happy New Year. Welcome to the program.
Happy New Year to all of you.
Thank you. Your thoughts?
I believe that we need frank discussion, and we need to know as much as we can about all the candidates, because the democratic process is served best by knowledge, full knowledge. So I don't think that the information that's coming out is backbiting or unnecessary. My comment on on Dean's Iraq stance is basically it's Monday morning quarterbacking. Very convenient, very easy. I'm supporting Dick Gephardt. And the reason that I am is that he voted against NAFTA, against the WTO, against GATT, against favored nation treatment for China. And he has this long history of supporting the common man, the middle class. And he's not an elitist. In contrast to Dean, who worked to get himself so that he didn't serve, in the military, Gephardt served in the reserves, and he wasn't AWOL.
Well, you know what, and Francesca, first of all, let me pat you on the back for taking the time and having the courage to express yourself. But let me also point out, because this isn't my show, and I'm not going to be here tomorrow. There are very few places in this country where you can dial a phone number and say what you just said to a national audience. And
that's a shame.
I'm
very appreciative of it, and that's why we need someone in the White House who is going to be strong and who's going to stand up for us, not somebody who doesn't want to serve in the military and goes to Colorado to ski for a year, even though he told the military that he had a bad back.
I'm with you.
And that right there is why campaigning against the war in Iraq can backfire the Democratic Party in a huge way, because there's a large... Still, the majority of the United States still thinks it was a good idea that we went to Iraq.
Now, I don't know that the majority, if 51% is a majority, then okay, the majority.
Okay,
does.
Put it this way. It's split right down the middle, so that means there's going to be, at best you're going to get is a plurality.
We don't have time to get into this right now, but if you dig into those numbers and who's running those polls, they're asking the same 864 people every week the same question.
You know, I got to say one thing about that last caller. That's an important issue for me, the WTO and NAFTA. I really don't like them. I think that they're bad for the planet and bad for humans and people. And that changes my opinion about him, puts him on the other side of Lieberman, at least.
Well, that's a good thing. So, Francesca, are you still there?
Thank you.
Take a bow, Francesca. Take a bow. That's great.
Well, thank you. I want to say one thing, too. In New Mexico, when Dean was here, Dean said that he would not... repeal NAFTA.
He did say that.
He did say
I know
that.
No, I'm agreeing with you. He did say that.
That's right. And if we want to have fair treatment around the world for our goods, we need to renegotiate all of those contracts.
All right. Let's try to clear some calls here before we're out of time. Mark and Rob, let's go next to Bill in Pennsylvania. Bill, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I agree with what the lady just said, is that when it really comes down to it, when we're in the voting booth, most of us are going to ask ourselves a question: are we better off than we were 4 years ago?
Amen.
You know, we need jobs.
Yeah, we desperately need jobs, and we need real jobs. We need the kind of jobs that unions represent, as we talked about the other night.
We don't need to be underemployed. We need to be employed.
Yeah, you know, let me just work for a fair wage. Bill, I couldn't disagree with that
at all. Well, I am a union member, so I agree with that fully.
That's right. We got to get the unions fired up, because if they don't get fired up, they're going to get fired.
Yeah.
Well, see, the biggest thing now, though, is our unions, because of the way the federal government is, we're all taking cuts at the state level.
Yeah, there's certainly been a trickle-down effect, and Republicans like to talk about trickle-down economics.
It does trickle down, boys and girls.
Unemployment does start at the top, and it will work
right
its
down.
Way down. Actually, it starts at the bottom and works its way up is what it does. All right, Bill, thank you so much for your call. Next, we're going to go to Jeff in Arizona. Jeff, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Tony, I just wanted to call and wish you all a very happy new year and tell you that, Tony, anytime the Democrats want to come down and have a debate like they did in Phoenix in September, they did a marvelous thing for Arizona. They broke the drought. A day afterwards, when they were all getting on the airplane to leave, it started raining. Every time the Republicans come down here, nothing but dry out.
Well,
so the Democrats are welcome here any time, Tony.
That's nice to hear, actually. I appreciate that. Jeff, Happy New Year to you
thank
as well.
You.
Just to let you know, I talked to Phil. Phil and I had a nice talk yesterday.
Great.
And thanks so much for calling the show. We're going to quickly now go to Roy in Toledo, Ohio. And Roy, let me welcome you to the show. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing really good. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm well. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to chime in, and I hate to reiterate what everybody else says, but I've been a longtime Teamster, almost 20 years here, and I'd like to say that, you know, as the Teamsters, we're going to come out, we're going to support Dick Gephardt because it is all about jobs, and I think that, you know, any more free trade agreements, I really don't think this country can handle it anymore. If we do not create real jobs here that make real products, and we export everything to North South American countries to be built, and if we don't produce products here anymore, how are we going to compete in a global market?
I don't want my 10-year-old and 8-year-old to look forward to a job cleaning hotel rooms as their employment for the future.
Would you like fries with that, please?
Exactly.
What scares me is the biggest new leak in jobs is this outsourcing by phone and internet.
Well, you know, we talked about that on the show last night.
I called AOL earlier last week, and it's like, Sutter, can I help you? What do you need with this today? We'll be glad to help you all you want.
Yeah, well, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and apparently Dell is finally seeing the light and saying, you know, maybe it's time we move some of these jobs back. We're up against a break. Roy, thank you so much for your call, and I'm glad you took the time to join us tonight. Let's take a break here in just a moment. When we come back, you both have about a minute to wrap up your thoughts on what we talked. Yeah, just 60 seconds, Mark. He's got to look at his watch.
Oh, gosh.
All right. I think that Brian had one more nickname for me. Mr. Microphone Beth was the last one. How about lobotomy malpractice case? I don't think so. Brian, go back to the drawing
board. Goober lips.
Oh, wait a minute. You're in studio with me. There might be some truth to that. Anyway. So we're going to take a break here in just a second, and what I would like everybody to do is just stay where you're at. Let's wrap this thing up on the other side. Rob Call with opednews.com is with us in Philadelphia. Mark Connors in studio with me. I am really Tony Truppiano, whatever you want to call me. That's really who I am, and we're going to come back and wrap it up the other side of this. Please stay with us.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I
lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Okay, here we go. That comic book show promo, take one. From the depths of Schroeder's parents' basement, that comic book show.
Hi, Steve. I'm Schroeder. Can I get your boys anything?
Mom, we're trying to do a promo for our show. Didn't you see the light on?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't see it. But anyway, would you boys like something or not?
Will you just leave us alone, please? We're working against a deadline here. And no, we would not like anything.
Okay, then I'll leave you two boys alone.
Okay, where were we?
Dude. I wish I was your dad.
Why?
I promise you won't be mad at me now. But I gotta tell you something.
Man, your mom is hot!
Dude!
Man, she's smoking, dude!
Knock it off.
Whoa!
Oh, will you just shut up?
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no. When it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
Very quickly, Tony Trupiano with you. First of all, let me explain, because I just got an email from Shelby. I got an unusual amount of emails during the last 3 hours of the show. I got hundreds of them. I couldn't respond to all of them. I appreciate everybody that wanted to ring in, and I got to as many as I possibly could. Shelby, you know I honor what you do. Of course, Shelby with RadioPower.org. I'm going to let Rob go first. You're 60 seconds, Rob. Go ahead, wrap it up.
Oh, boy. I just wanted to mention we've got a neat article on the website right now that one of the areas of the Christian right is this fascination with the rapture and the Left Behind series. The way they support Israel is because they want Israel to go down, because then the Messiah is going to come. We have an article called This Christmas, Next Christmas by Jerry Lower that has a progressive vision of the rapture. And it's kind of neat.
All right.
Of course, in this case, the Antichrist is George Bush.
There may be some truth.
And there's a progressive future.
How cool. All right, we'll have to check that out. Rob, thank you for spending 3 hours with us.
It's been fun.
You're a good man. We will certainly be in touch. Happy New Year to you.
Thanks. You too, and all of you out there.
All right. God bless you. Mark Connors, you're 60.
My 60 is, folks, focus on what we're losing. In this country, we have lost so many jobs. We've lost a positive outlook in the future. Talk to a 19 or 20-year-old or 21-year-old. Ask them what they think their future is going to be. It's bleak in their mind. We have to bring back the American dream, that the fact if you're willing to work hard, if you're willing to do what it takes to get the job done, that you can succeed. They now believe, young people believe, that no matter how hard I work, I'm going to get nowhere fast because there's nowhere to go. It's time to take back the vision of the United States. And the Democratic Party has a chance to do that because they're more connected to people and less connected to government, to big government, and less connected to they're more connected to the Democratic Party is connected to people, not to corporations, what I'm trying to say. Get out there, get fired up, do something. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore,
okay,
to quote a TV show.
And I'll take my 30 seconds, and first of all, say Happy New Year to everybody, including you, Mark Connors, and Rob Call. It's been a pleasure to sit in for Mike, as it always is. Don't know if I'll get a chance to be back here before the end of the network run, whenever that happens to be. Just let people know, if you want to get in touch with me, tony@thetonyshow.com. I love all of you. Mr. Hannes, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everyone.
God bless you. Shar, thank you for everything. Shar Jones. I love you, baby. Bye-bye. Well, those around them criticize and treat. Along that breaking wall, I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
But we're never gonna survive unless we get a little.
This representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.